Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry by the jab. I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators. I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire. Refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers eating fresh rolls. Call me private label.
Welcome to episode 94 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. I'm out on the road right now, so if I sound a little bit weird, you know the reasons why. I'm in an undisclosed location in the middle of Missouri for reasons of security, therefore insecurity. I had to borrow that one from John B. Anyway, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. P-E-R-M-A. They got some ballin' stuff, y'all. Go check them out. Also, the Fountain app. If you wish to tip a pimp, especially when he's on the road, you can check us out over there. You can also listen to all your podcasts, triple up the speed like I do, and you'll be off and running. How you doing, son?
Pretty good, Dad. The audio isn't quite as good as it usually is every week, but, I mean, at least we're still doing the episode, even though you're on the road.
Well, just like when I was out in Arizona, you know, we still managed to find a way to do that. And it's as much for everybody else out there as it is for us. I mean, sometimes we just don't have great, just getting this on the air right now. I'm in small town Missouri right now, and I'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, I'm in one of those stab and jab kind of hotels. And believe me, they're not all that concerned about having decent internet access, but it is what it is. And we do what we can do. All right, y'all, tip of the day. When you travel and you travel armed like I do, remember to drive around Illinois. So if you got to go from point A to point B, like I just had to do, basically left North Carolina, had to go to Springfield, Missouri. I'll talk about that in a minute. And then from Springfield up to where I am near Clark, Missouri, to attend Greg Judy's workshop. You know, you got to think about these sort of things, y'all. And it's funny, my friend down in the deep south, he said, he wrote to me as I was actually traveling. He's like, hey, man, I know you're heading out there. You're probably going to go across Illinois if you didn't think about it. I know you're probably armed, and that's going to be an issue. So, yeah, I actually drove underneath it and came out on the other side, even though it meant a couple more hours. So there's your tip of the day. Be real mindful, y'all, when you're traveling. I know this is supposed to be the United States of America, but it's actually the United States of Amnesia, as we've talked about numerous times. And that's not the only state, y'all. When I was on the road doing work as an electrician, I've traveled all over this country. And more than once, more than twice, more than probably 20 times, I was actually engaging in my Second Amendment right, not a privilege, through some of these states like Massachusetts and New York and some of the others. And while traveling through there, I'm pretty sure I was, quote, dirty under their laws. So just keep that in mind, because if they pull you over and you're armed, it can be stupid. So I just frankly just drive around those places whenever I have to go to any of them. So we're going to jump right into the farm news, and it's going to be a little bit different because I'm on the road and William's at home. So we'll cover this in different ways. Yesterday, I went to Springfield, Missouri, to meet halfway my best friend. You'll see a video. I did a little video with him, and we grew up together. I mean, thick as thieves. I mean, as far back as you can remember, me and him have been best friends. You know, took all the same classes in high school. You know, we went to the Army together, joined the electrical union together, went to college together. I mean, you name it. We were like, in many ways, if you look up, if you go through and you read the accounts of Jonathan and David, that's kind of what it's been for us our whole lives. Even though I haven't seen him in years now, which is kind of it bothered me really quite a bit to have having not a person you view as your brother and you haven't seen him for more than a decade. We talk all the time, but it's just not the same. So we got to hang out in Springfield. I gave him the pig, one of those last pigs we processed. And yeah, so, you know, he picked up the meat. We hung out at Lambert's Throat Rolls. Anybody been through there knows what that place is like. Yeah, you remember that place, don't you, son?
Yeah, yep, I've been there a few times now.
Yeah, yeah, me too. So we went through there. We hung out for a while. And then, you know, he had to get home and I had to get on the first thing smoking up here to Clark, Missouri, which, by the way, I come to find out is actually the birthplace of General Omar Nelson Bradley, whose grandson, maybe you've heard me talk about it before, his grandson was actually my battle buddy in Army. So, but yeah, anyway, we, you know, we hung out for a while and it's just bittersweet when you see old friends like that, especially one that you consider to be a brother, and then you don't see each other for a while, then you do, and it's just it's just kind of tough. You just realize that, hey, maybe I'm missing a few things that need my attention on the other side, and those are things I'm going to work on. Okay, so other farm news is I finished the foundation courses of Dr. Ingham, and so now it's off to the microscopy course. And folks, I got to say, my mind's blown. Now, I've talked about it before, and I understand a lot. Most folks aren't going to be able to afford this course. It is very expensive, but I'm hoping to some extent or another to help distill it down to where everybody out there can get the benefits of me and Michelle and now William having done this course. I mean, you're about to work on it too, right, son?
Yeah, I just got signed up for it today. Actually, it would have been yesterday had our bank not screwed around and whatnot. There's issues with that bank all the time. Anytime we're trying to make some sort of purchase, that bank always has issues. Anytime we're counting on the purchase, there's issues with the bank.
Every single time, man, I'll be on the road. I'm shocked they didn't turn off my debit card at this point, because Every time I go out of town, and I understand to a certain extent, but I have never seen, everybody says work with these small town banks. Well, you know, we got banks that we work with in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and North Carolina, and all of them are small banks, small community banks.
All of them accept money as well. There was one time where they wouldn't even allow me to deposit a check into the bank account.
Well, we're going to quit working with these people after a while, because it's really a mess. It's a nightmare dealing with these folks. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, in small town Texarkana, we got a bank from there and we can do just about anything you want. But here it is, this bank we're dealing with right now, I won't give their names right now, but man, you want to avoid these people like the plague. I've never seen anything like it. Other things going on. My book, son, the book I've been working on, it looks like it's done. I talked to Matt and Gabby. So Matt over at Homestead for a Living, along with his wife, Gabby, you know, we teamed up to do this book. It's going to be called Scrapsteading. And I can't think of a more appropriate book for these times. And we teamed up on this thing. And it looks like it's we just got a few more things to get done. And then it's going to be off to the races. And we'll make that event.
Oh, it looks like Dad froze for a minute. Hold on. We'll try to get that worked out. Give me 1 second.
All right. Well, we definitely had a technical glitch. Like I said, here in this part of the country, or really a lot of part of the country, we just don't have the kind of internet. So yeah, you lost me there a little bit. And so anyway, that book is done. Things are off and running. And I was saying that basically of all the things I've ever done in my life, this is without a doubt the most daunting. And the reason why is, yeah, I know how to read books, but I wasn't so sure that I was able to write one, especially be able to convey it in a way that really makes sense. I don't know why, it's foolish fear, but this is one of those things I've never done before. And when I stop to think about it, of just how stupid it is, at least in terms of the fear, I'm like, okay, most of my life consists of going on a ledge and doing things that I've never done before. And I don't see this as any different. There is something of a little bit of a, I guess it's a, I've never really concerned myself about this for the last 10 years, but I guess to a certain extent, I guess it's a fear of rejection or whatever. But hey, I did it. I'm now an author. So we'll just see where this thing goes. And we'll let you know when it's all ready to rock and roll, but it's off and running.
Is there like an expected date or anything like that?
Not yet. It's going to be soon. Okay. There's a few more things to run through, and we're going to make that announcement. But hopefully people will find it very, very helpful. That's really the biggest motive. You don't make money writing books, like Joel Salatin told me a while back. You don't make money writing books. You really don't. You do it for the love. And that's exactly part of it. I mean, is to convey this stuff in a way that cannot be erased. Because once you have a book, you know, it's they can't just delete that from, you know, the world. Like you said, you can write in the margins. You can do all those things. And I'm a big fan of books. So it is what it is.
You make a lot of money if you used to be a president.
Yeah. That's a whole nother thing altogether. That's how they do the kickbacks, is through book deals. But yeah, I will say, son, though, the hardest thing about being on the road, especially yesterday when I was doing most of this driving, is doing 75 hard. You want to know what part's difficult? Is the water. Because you got to drink a gallon of water on this. And typically when I'm behind the wheel, I'm not, you know, I'm drinking as minimal as possible. Man, I bet I stopped 10 to 15 times, no exaggeration, from North Carolina to Missouri. Maybe not quite that many times, but it maybe around 10 times. Because I'm like, good night, man. This is one thing I did not consider. I'm getting off the exit every time I turn around because I'm pounding this water, which, you know, it's a good thing. But at the same time, you got to consider those things. So before we get into Pastor Lon, y'all, this is going to be something of a compressed episode because there are certain things that just don't have access to right now, like your emails and stuff like that. I can't necessarily do. Also, the good news, bad news thing. We're going to omit that today. And we're just going to go straight into my pastor, the homesteading pastor.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. I got one verse of scripture for us today. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. When we were children, we spake, understood, and thought as children. But as we grow older, whether we be men or women, when we grow older, we put away childish things. We need to start focusing on the responsibility that God has given us in our lives. And being a man, I want to speak mainly to the men today. Many men today need courage. They need to stop whimpering and making excuses about why they're not following God's word and why they're not leading and guiding their families from the front. You see, guys, mama needs some help, and we must be determined as men to stay on the job no matter how tough it gets and be the spiritual leader that God expects us to be and our families need us to be. I guess what I'm trying to say, to sum it up, we need to start walking like godly men.
Well, we're going to be talking a lot about Pastor Lon in this episode today, y'all, and some things that he provided. But we'll get into that in the main topic. We'll actually get into it here in a little bit, but I do want to address that.
He wasn't mincing words at all, that's for sure.
Well, he never does, and I'm so thankful for that because so many mealy-mouthed men, I can't. This is why I love Pastor Lon so much, is his yays are yays and his nays are nays. And the thing I can't stand is a mealy-mouthed man, one where you can't find out, you know, they're afraid to offend you, so they don't say, I don't care if you offend me. I just want to hear the truth, and I want to hear it raw. Some people seem to get put off with that these days, but when I was a kid, that's the way most men spoke. I mean, it wasn't this mealy-mouthed nonsense. And then also, something else I want to hit into that he's talking about here, and it's a big thing, and it's been driving me nuts for the longest time, and I suspect a whole lot of other guys out there, and I know for sure the women. And it's what I've seen, like he talked about, when I was a man, when I was a child, I acted as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Well, how many guys do you know are engaged in lifelong adolescence? You know, guys who know the price of everything and the value of nothing. They could tell you the sports scores, the whatever. I was laughed to scorn one time because I had no idea who the quarterback was for the Kansas City Chiefs. And, of course, he got a little firepower back when I said, okay, well, what's your First Amendment? You know, these guys know the like I said, the price of everything and the value of nothing. And this lifelong adolescence that seems to be, and it's not just guys, women are also engaged in this, where it's a lifelong engagement into things that don't matter. And now we're seeing, I think, all of it come to roost right now. We're seeing, well, adversity makes men, prosperity makes monsters. And we've been pretty prosperous for quite a while now.
This is what happens when men watch other men play games.
Son, that is profound. It really is. I think, you know, it's, and then, okay, growing up in Oklahoma, and I'm probably going to offend some Okies out there. It's okay. Man, it floored me, all of the OU fans, and I know every, you know, state and whatever, but they are rabid, rabid fans out there. These guys, you would always hear them say, well, we lost the ball on this one, or we didn't do this. And I'm like, what's this we stuff, dude? You ain't on that field. What do you mean we lost this? And you hear it also, it's usually football where I've always heard that sort of thing. And it's usually professional football as well, where we did this. There was a guy when I was working in Texas, you know, and I used to break his chops all the time about it. He was like, well, I can't believe we did. I'm like, you have no involvement whatsoever. And I'm not saying there's nothing, I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with watching sports, but when you would superimpose who you think or you wish you were or whatever you think you're being on the field, or you're living your life vicariously through your kids, trying to turn them into the star athlete you thought you were going to be. Like when I was a kid, you know, they would, you know, whatever town or city you were in, you played on that team. You were the Southside Bears. You were this and that. And then later on, as when you were growing up, son, all this phenomenon happened where all of a sudden they're stacking these baseball teams and these football teams, and they're recruiting. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is where you're telling everybody this is where your value lies.
There were schools when I was growing up, there were schools that would intentionally keep their numbers lower so they could compete at easier divisions and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's really sick. I mean, I remember working on a place in Athens, Texas, where they got rid of, if I remember right, or at least this is what I was told when I was working there, they got rid of all the fine arts programs so they could build this stadium that would be the envy of any college. I know, because I was doing the electric work on it. They had jumbotrons out here for a high school, but they didn't have a French department. They didn't have a Spanish department. We probably didn't need a Spanish department, but
these kids can't even bathe correctly, and they're on a jumbotron.
They're on a jumbotron, and I think the name of that town was Athens, Texas. I mean, if I'm wrong, somebody correct me, but they had a field house that was the envy. I could not believe that this town has spent all these millions. Meanwhile, you know, how are you doing on those standardized tests? Do you have kids? I mean, they had to get rid of like art programs. They had to do all this other stuff just so they could, you know, folks. Wow. I mean, like Pastor Lon's saying here, the bottom line that I really want to point out here is we better start growing up, or the crucible of really hard times is going to make us grow up, which is going to bring me into something else all. And like I said, we're going to forego the bad news, good news. Well, I'll just say this much. Let's just keep it as real as I know how. We, at this point, based on what was just released from the Durham report, which is unbelievable, I think everybody ought to be saying, do I live in a third world banana republic right now? Because the profound, unbelievable answer is yes, a resounding yes, you do. There is no justice right now. And history shows what happens to a society that neglects to deal. I mean, and then the Bible's full of how many different pages of what happens when you get a decadent society. You know, how many times did the Israelites, you know, they did good and then they start screwing up and then bam, right back, they get a great reset, so to speak. Well, right now you got some pretty awful things going on, and there is no justice, not unless you're, you know, these Jan 6 people. When I'm hearing the stories that are going on with those folks, it's appalling. A lot of these folks, they did absolutely nothing. It was almost certainly the FBI that was behind every bit of it, just like they were with this whole thing that just was revealed through Durham. And still, there's no justice. Nobody's going to jail except the wrong people. The people that are unjustly.
there might be 5 years from now. That's whenever they'll get justice potentially, and it'll be quietly because nobody will say anything about it.
I wonder if we got that long. I really do. In the meantime, we just can't lose our humanity. And based on this topic today, we're going to go to a break here in a second, y'all, and then we're going to get back into it. This topic really hit me today because for the most part, as I was going through this course, I told everybody before that all the podcasts, the text messages, all these other things have basically had to go by the wayside. And for the most part, they have. And I told you that I was finding myself being a much more positive person. I've been finding myself, I'm still aware of what's going on, but I'm doing the bare minimum. And then while I'm on the road, I'll be honest with you, I kind of drifted right back in because I'm trying to pass the time as I'm driving. So when I caught myself, I was like, oh, shoot. Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something I haven't done in forever in a day, and that's actually listen to music. I can't remember the last time I've actually listened to music. And so I did that. And then I went back to listening to podcasts again. And a lot of these podcasts are talking about, things from a political nature and also what's happening socially in this country. And then it gets you to that point of thinking, good night, man. Is all the goodness gone? Well, when we get back, y'all, we're going to get into another message from Pastor Lon, and I encourage you to check it out. I'm a rebel like here, though a helix intervening with Jesus. I'm a chimera looking at these golden years flying by fair force. They're cutting it off of the food too. Analytics they used to recruit you. Yours opinion that sets on your son's too. They don't want the individual just to call the copy. You sitting that man, the cottage. I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. I'm a kamikaze. Get me out of body. All righty, y'all. Back to it. Forgive some of the delay. And like I said, for those that are just tuning in right now, I'm acting like it's live radio, but if you fast forward ahead, and this is where you are. I sound a little bit different because I'm in the wilds of, an undisclosed. Well, I guess it ain't undisclosed.
Yeah, you didn't
set
it. No.
Yeah. I'm near Clark, Missouri. Internet signal isn't all that wonderful out here, but we still make a show and hopefully we do a good one. All right, y'all, we're going to do something we've never done before. And let me just kind of give a little bit of context for this. As I'm driving down the road today, this is today. Pastor Lon, usually on Monday and Thursday, he'll send me his portion of the show. And he sent another one, and I'm glad he did it in a voice message because it's something I can use right now, especially, I got to be honest, y'all, as I'm driving down the road and I'm listening, I listened to the first message and I'm like, awesome. And then I saw there was a second message and I didn't get to check it out until a little bit later as I was going down the road. And as I'm going down the road, I'm listening to what he says here. And I'll be honest with y'all, I got choked up. I'm sitting here driving down the road and it just recentered me from that. I would almost call it an unpleasant place because of what he said there. And he's basically recounting, if anybody didn't hear last week's, we talked about how Pastor Lon went into a Dollar General, something like that, one of them dollar stores. And, there he ran into, a pretty unsavory character and he seemed to be no good. And I probably didn't do a good job of conveying it, but at the bottom line is it turned out okay. And then he has the polar opposite experience that we're going to tell you. This is going to take a couple of minutes to unfold, but you'll be glad you did.
Hey, Bill, it's Pastor Lon. I'm going to share this with you. A brief story right quick. You don't have to play this recording on the PimpCast, but you might want to share it with them like you've done about my other experience at another Dollar General with the Satan worshiper. Whole different ball game this week. I went to another Dollar General to pick up some snacks. I rode by the store and there was a lot of people there. And I said, well, I'll just wait and come back. Well, when I came back by, the crowd was thin. I stopped by. That's when God wanted me there. Because when I walked in the door to Dollar General, they were playing gospel music. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, praise the Lord. We need this played in every store in America, every business in America. But I walked in there and I was like, man, this is okay. And I went on and got my snacks, went up to the counter. And when I got to the counter, I could tell it was two black ladies. The only reason I tell you these ladies were black that mattered to me, because I don't have a prejudice bone, a racist bone in my body, but I'm telling you this so you can share it with your viewers, your listeners about what happened. So I walked up to the counter, tears in her eyes, and I said, I will let you know, this Dollar General, she probably thought I was getting ready to complain about the music. I said, I will let you know, because of the music you're playing in this store, this Dollar General just became my favorite store, my favorite Dollar General store. And she started smiling a little bit, but she had tears in her eyes, running down her face. And she said, I just had to play this song because I'm having a moment right now. I could tell she was downtrodden, brokenhearted. And I just went on to tell her after I paid for my stuff that I was a pastor over in Darlington. And I asked her, could I pray for her? She said, absolutely. She welcomed me to be able to pray for her. So I put my arm around her. She put her arm around me. We prayed right there in the store with other people around waiting to check out. We prayed right there. A white man and a black lady in America, in a Dollar General, praising the same God, praying for one another. Amen. So I prayed for her. And she had a smile on her face. She thanked me for praying. And she, when I went to leave, she said, thank you, Pastor. She said, I just wish everybody would believe. And I don't know whether she was having an issue with her, with somebody at home and her family, or she just had an issue with somebody, maybe like that devil worshiper that was in the other Dollar General that day. I don't know what had happened. Somebody may have hurt her feelings. I don't know. But whatever it was, I feel like God delivered her that day, and he placed me at that store and her at that store at the same time, at the right time, for just a time as this. So if you want to share that with everybody, that would be great. But I don't want any credit for it, but I just felt obedient that day. And God put me in the right place at the right time, and hopefully he spoke to her, and he helped this young lady. That was, her name was Tamika.
All right. Well, that's really good. The thing that's really... the thing that takes me aback right now is that you look at these times right now. We have everybody in the United States of Amnesia at the highest echelons of power that are doing everything possible to divide us on race, politics, gender, all these other things. Now, there are lines in the sands I won't cross. There are things that matter to me, and you're not going to get me to accept. That is a fact. That is... call me whatever, but I'm not going to accept it. But these things right now that are going on in terms of race, you got Antifa, which, by the way, I've had a run-in with them before, if you ever heard me talk about it on here. And they were all white people, by the way. One black person there. And there's a lot of drones out there that are falling for this nonsense. And so we got to be on, and we can't lose our freaking humanity in all of this. And honestly, y'all, I've been to that place where I let them get the better of me sometimes. I kind of lose that spirit of love and, you know, become maybe a little bit indignant in these times. There has, honestly, in this last week also been something similar to what Pastor Lon had. It's a little bit different, at least for me, where I'm in this one place at one time. It turned out to be a business opportunity that in a million years, I didn't even see happening. And I just happened to be at the same place as this other person. And it might flourish into something that's worthwhile. And at the same time, it was at a time where ordinarily I would not be there. And then it turned out to be something that it seems like it's going to be quite fruitful. But how many times in your life, especially in these times, have you come across somebody that may be hurting? Somebody you don't know a whole lot about. And frankly, I see them every time I go to Asheville when I see these people on the corner holding a sign. I know a lot of them are almost certainly drug dependent. I know a lot of them might just flat out be scams, because when I see them standing on the corner, you got this, you know, old beat up sign, but you got brand new sneakers on. Or your clothes are not disheveled or anything like that. I'm starting to ask critical questions. But some of these other people, I've felt the compulsion to stop and have a conversation with them. Because in the past, I did do that sort of thing. I would feed them. I never give them money, or at least I don't anymore. But I will say, look, you want a meal? Let's go over here and get you squared away. I've done that. But I have found myself, full disclosure, I have found myself in a position as of late where my heart has become a little bit hardened, towards some people that maybe Pastor Lon may not have a bit of prejudice in his body, but I do. Prejudice just means prejudging. How many times, like Shakespeare said, the apparel oft proclaimed the man? Well, that the operative word there is oft. That's not always. And there have been assumptions I've made about certain people, and yes, that is prejudice. Based on what I saw in them or what I thought I saw in them. And then I'm not one that ever sticks my nose up at anybody, but I did pass on when I felt the compulsion to sit here and maybe see what was going on with that person. I didn't follow that little push. Like Pastor Lon said, he went by there the first time. Didn't seem like he wanted to fool around with the line. Came back a second time, and maybe that's exactly the way the Lord directed it. Well, in my life, in recent times, I think I've ignored that because I'm in too big a rush or I'm making certain assumptions. But we're at a time in this country where everything in the powers that shouldn't be is trying to get us to kill one another. I mean, if we get down to brass tacks, in many ways it's working. And in some ways, I've not been a help in that thing. So I'm not saying I'm not going to be as critical in the future regarding the things that are going on in this world, because flat out, I won't mince around with how I feel about certain things. You're not going to convince me that it's okay for anybody to chop off the genitals of a child because they, you know, because the parents want to, you know, the parents want to grandstand and talk about how woke they are. That's never going to be okay with me. Pedophilia ain't ever going to be okay with me. These other things that people engage in are never going to be okay with me. But at the end of the day, I still can't lose my humanity and not love these people and at least find out where they are. Take those extra couple of steps where you see maybe there's some of these old folks in the grocery store that are struggling. Maybe I got the means to help them out at that time. Or maybe just go up there and say, ma'am, how's your day going? And then maybe they unload on you. I think the profound lesson in all of this, for me, is to just slow down, be a little bit more deliberate of what's going on around me, and really asking the Lord to direct my steps in all things. Maybe I can help out somebody. Maybe I can be in the right place at the right time. Maybe offer a kind word. And believe it or not, like Pastor Lon, he sat there and prayed for this woman. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. Even there was another pastor I heard say this before. He's also in North Carolina, out in Hickory. He said, you know what? You ever notice that when you get down on your knees and you pray, your problem may still be there, but you feel better? You do. Your problem ain't no different. It didn't change. I can personally attest to that. So if I were to go to this other person and say, there was a time your mom and I, son, we were in the mall, and I won't go into any details about this, but we were, there was a reason we were in that mall on a Sunday. And I won't say much more than that. We were dealing with a woman who is a, we'll call her a Satanist, had to deal with her at the time. There were some things that unfolded there, and she and I are walking through this mall on a Sunday, and there was almost nobody there. And of all the people we ran up to, there was a guy that was in charge of like the bouncy thing over there. And just out of nowhere, he just said, hey, can I pray for you? And I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. And that's exactly what we needed at the time. Didn't change none of the problems, but it sure felt a lot better when it was all said and done. Folks, I'm going to encourage everybody out there, not only get your own prayer life in order, but honestly, if you see somebody, even if you have, it drives me nuts when people say, well, I'll pray for you. It's the least I can do. Let me tell you something. It's all you can do. It's the most you can do, especially with these people that may be having, you know, the whole world, or they feel like the whole world is on their shoulders at that time. So I want to give a shout out, and I want to thank my pastor, the homesteading pastor there. When he sent that to me, like I said, there was no way this show, I had different plans for this show, but I was like, okay, there is no way we're not going to talk about this. It's too doggone important. And I can't help but wonder how many other people are walking past people you know need a kind word or prayer. how many other people are doing it? Because I know I've been one of those people. Just keep on walking for a whole variety of reasons that I'm frankly embarrassed about. Son, you got anything you want to say on this matter?
Yeah, I mean, listening to the story, you can't help but smile. Like, listening through the whole thing, you can't help but smile. He's getting his snacks. I mean, there's gospel music playing in Dollar General, and he's praying with Tamika. I mean, the whole story is just, it's just a happy story. You can tell he's excited telling it. Like, he's excited that the whole scenario happened and all that. It just makes you smile. I mean, that's why I was chuckling at the end of it, is because it's a happy story, and you can just feel the happiness coming from him.
Well, and Pastor Lon was also there, you know, at that last farm where you live. I mean, they had like a little prayer area, you know, yeah. And there he was. I mean, he's one of the most selfless human beings I ever met in my life. And folks, I'll leave it for him. I got to get him back on the show again. We could talk about some of this stuff. But this is a man that is busy, busy, busy. His wife is busy, busy, busy. Works a full-time job, full-time pastor, runs a household along with the missus, runs a farm, and does all this stuff, and still finds time to minister to everybody out there, myself included. And you just can't help but, I mean, I've often said that I love selfless people, because it's what we have the least of in this world right now. Selfless, not selfish, selfless people, the people that put themselves last every single time. I think a lot of us know those kinds of people. And I like to think to a certain extent I am, but I realize that I'm falling way, way short. And that story exposed the real tragedy in my life, where I'm too busy or too prejudiced to sit here and stop. Now, if I see somebody crying, obviously I'm gonna ask. But there's times where I knew something was wrong with whoever I was walking by and kept on stepping because I'm in a rush.
Hey, also on the flip side, there have been times where I've intended to help and then I've gotten that feeling, keep on stepping. And you need to pay attention to those moments just as much. So don't forget it. Don't get yourself, like, you know, in danger trying to help somebody, ignoring a feeling because you think you're like obliged to help somebody.
That is a fact. That is, I'm glad you pointed that out too, son. I mean, like you're driving down the road, maybe there's somebody broke down and, you know, it's in a very bad place. Well, more than once, somebody's gotten beaten over the head because they went to go help somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, this is sadly the kind of world we live in. I mean, those are the kind of stories, man, when they beat you over the head and they may just kill you and take your stuff, or you wake up in a bathtub missing a kidney.
Or the scenario where there's like a woman broken down with what looks like a baby broken down, and you're getting that bad feeling and you ignore it because it's a woman with a baby, and you get out and then get mugged and whatnot because there's three guys hiding in the car.
Well, that's why we always say at the end of the day, y'all, stay alert, stay alive. And then part of that is, like right now, you know, there's a reason I travel armed. You know, I will say the first thing I saw when I got into Missouri, I got out of the gas station, go inside there to go get me another bottle of water, and, of course, go to the bathroom. First thing I saw was this old boy, big old beard, and he's open carry. And I'm like, okay, I'm in the right place. And he was really, really polite. He was very, you know, and I'm like, yeah, it goes to show you, armed society is a polite society. You know, it always blows my mind. And on that, I don't mean to go too far off the topic, but I was always wondering, why do people not freak out when they see a cop with a weapon, but they will when they see me with one or anybody else that open carries, you know? But yeah, in those cases, y'all, it's a two-way street, like William says. Honestly, you just can't, just because you see a person look like they may be in distress, they may also, sadly, they may also be somebody that's wanting to take your wallet or kill you or whoever knows what the case is. But when you get that feeling from the Holy Spirit, if you've been put in the right place at the right time, seize it. If nothing else, ask, hey, you look like the world's on your shoulders. Can I pray with you? Somebody did it for us. Like I said, you can ask your mom, son. She was right there in the mall. And
yeah, you guys told me.
We were floored that at that time, right when we needed it, I mean, man, I was sitting there bawling. Good thing nobody was walking up and down this hall, because it was in the hall in the mall, because I was like, the same thing Pastor Lon did for this lady was the same exact thing somebody did for us, because, like I said, we got Asheville's one of them places, y'all, where there's a whole lot of witchcraft going on, and these people really consider it their religion. And you can feel the oppression sometimes when you leave there. anytime I have to spend any considerable time there, I get home and I'm exhausted. And I got to take a shower and get this. I got to chase whatever's trying to get on me off because you just feel that oppression. But folks, when you, I can't say it enough. The profound lesson, I think, in this whole thing is we got to remember, y'all, to not lose our humanity. I'm talking to me right now. We got to make sure that in these crazy times that we don't lose our humanity. You see a person in trouble, you see a person distressed, you may be one of those people one day. And I had forgotten about that. All right, y'all, when we get in there, we're going to come back with the Q&A.
The clap track brings to some more people. Rachel Levine's back clapped. Everybody worked up about Elon. Buying Twitter like he gonna save us. Left and right squabbling while he got chips for your head, calling him courageous. No way, no. I answer to no one, start calling me NATO. Digital cheese on the way, go. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer. I need another booster before I hit the beach. BLM on my
coat. All righty, y'all. Getting back into it. So we got a Q&A thing. I'm not sure how much I can get to it on my end. I might be able to get to a couple, but like I said, if I tax this internet system anymore, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get blasted off again. So I can't take the risk. So, yeah, go ahead, son.
I'm reading them off the Fountain app. This first one's from Po' Boy. Poison ivy is the only thing I've used Roundup on. If I don't have critters, what would you recommend I use it to use to give it the backhand?
There's a lot of goats out there that'll eat that stuff. I understand. I mean, I know I don't know what goats they were, but the ones we had back in Texas, man, they ate that stuff. I'm not sure what breed it was. I'm not even sure the people that sold those goats to us knew what breed they were. They put the herd on some poison ivy. And also, it's one of those things, too, another thing to get your you're wondering the reason it's there. It all comes down to your soil and your soil life. Yeah. Those really awful things cannot exist. They cannot exist in a really good soil environment. So if you see it, there's a really good chance. If you see it, if it has thorns, if it's thickety, or it's just flat out poison ivy, 9 times out of 10, your soil's jacked up. So that's where you're going to need to start.
Got another one from Danny OTK154. Love the show. I started a food forest this year, added meat chickens for my first time, and been thinking much more tactical thanks to you two. Keep on sharing your insights and keep Christ at the center. Hashtag tip a pimp. Hashtag catch Jack.
That's amen awesome. To all that.
Yeah. I wonder if your meat birds are like incorporated in your food forest or not. That's pretty cool though.
Yeah. And folks, you can do that. Son, real quick, let me just say, keep in mind, in permaculture, we look for relationships, okay? That's kind of what this show has been about to a certain extent. We look for relationships in all things. So if you have a garden, you got to ask yourself, huh, what animal system would lend itself quite well to that? Okay, maybe chickens. Or what if I have a orchard setting? Could I run chickens up and down the lane? You almost certainly could, even if it hasn't, you know, even if you don't have swales or anything like that. Everything around it will benefit if you do it the right way. So think about those relationships and all things. And we're going to try to cover even more of that in the future.
Yeah. Got another comment from user 72647. You guys made my year, received my Kaiser knife today. Nice. And then Billy dropped the line for all the people pretending nothing is happening, then asking for a handout. Hail to the no, no, no. You had me rolling. That's worth 1,000 stats. The last episode.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, it was that's real. In fact, I was talking to your Uncle Dion today where, we're talking about that very same thing. Now, everybody's going to see it in varying degrees as far as the nature of our country right now. Look, I know people that live on nonstop. Everybody needs a vacation. You need the time to get away. I get it. I totally understand. But so you and I know people that historically, as of late, they take a vacation once or twice a month.
Yeah, what's the point of paying a mortgage?
You're paying once or twice a month to go on vacations. And I'm like, you think maybe you want to put back some beans or something? And they look at you like they're like you got five eyes. So I'm like, okay, if I can sit here, if everybody, me, you, and your mom, a 12-hour day is a short day for us. It really is. A 12-hour day is a short day. And I'm talking every day. And I still have a means to keep up with what's going on in this world and put back. Well, when I know you only, not saying only, but I know that you work a 40-hour job and most of it's from the house and you're on nonstop vacation, no. Things jump off, don't come looking this way.
Yeah. Got one from Cheetah 68. I had someone last fall flag me down on a highway on-ramp. He was of Middle Eastern descent. He had misplaced his wallet and needed gas and offered me his gold ring in exchange for a tank full. He seemed very sincere. I handed him a $5 bill and told him to keep his gold ring and be safe, and then I drove off.
Check it out, son. You ain't going to believe this. Same thing happened to me at Ingalls in Mars Hill. This old boy had two kids in the back seat. I told your mom about it. He offered a gold. I thought he was Hispanic. And he hits me up while I'm at the gas pump. And
y'all look alike.
Yeah. Oh, gee, that's insensitive, man. Whatever. I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell the difference. I thought he was Hispanic, but then he had this weird Hispanic accent. I didn't know, man. All I know is this dude offered up this gold ring, had two kids in the back seat, and he was asking like fuel. And I thought he was Mexican.
Yeah, but it was a weird Hispanic accent because it wasn't Hispanic, Dad.
Hey, but you know, what are the odds? Because he hit me up at Ingalls at the as I'm checking out, not checking out, I'm over there getting gas. I'm over there at the pump, and he pulls up, he gave a sob story. Now, son, that's one of them cases where I was smelling a rat. I'm like, I don't know about all this, dude. You're trying to give me solid gold for some gas. Something just didn't smell right on this one. Yeah. And so, but look, this is one of the latest scams out there. I can't believe somebody just sent that in.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I don't know. They said Cheetah 68 said they seemed pretty sincere. So
yeah, he seemed sincerely crooked to me. When I was there, I'm like, I don't know. The fact that it happened twice makes me wonder that this is one of the latest scams. I mean, who even knows what was on that ring? He sticks out this gold ring, got these two kids back there. And I'm like, I don't know, dude. If you got gold and it's a ring, you'd be better off going to a doggone dealer who's going to get, I mean, gold's pretty expensive right now. I mean, by the ounce, it's pretty expensive. Pretty sure you could fill that vehicle up a few times if you were to go somewhere and sell that gold proper.
I got a comment from the YouTube channel, Permaculture Pimpcast. You can check it. It's linked down below. Do y'all have, this is from RE 1100. Do y'all have any thoughts on Vivek Ramaswamy's presidential campaign? He is gaining steam now, according to AP poll.
I've never heard of this guy.
Yeah, I can't even pronounce it. Vivek, maybe? Ramaswamy. Okay.
Yeah, I think I have heard a little bit about him. I haven't heard much. I don't know what he stands for. I do know this. At the end of the day, I would like to vote for none of the above.
Let's get to a point where it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and that's kind of... the president should be insignificant in the lives of most of us should be, because things should be done on the state level. I mean, the president should have a very limited role in our lives. And because the Constitution and everything it's about has been so bastardized that we spend a lot of time on it. But I've heard good things said from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. There's other things that do concern me about this guy. This other dude, I don't know anything about. But at the end of the day, I mean, picking out the president right now, for the most part, is like trying to pick out the color of the truck that's about to run you over.
Yeah. Got one from Riley T 868. Dad, you're going to like this one. If you like Westerns and haven't seen Lonesome Dove, you're messing up, nephew. And then he has a quote, besides a whiskey, I think will require a little respect.
Me and Pastor Lon were talking about that once. Man, where the best... I think the best scene in the history of cowboy movies, and I bet Pastor Lon agree with me, I know Lonesome Dove's his favorite too, is that part when Augustus and Woodrow walk into that bar and that surly bartender. Yeah, besides this drink, I think we'll require a little respect after he knocked his teeth out and then, you know, put him out completely. It is honestly going right back to that polite society. We've talked about how many times in this podcast where you got people, especially guys and certain women these days, they will run their mouths up against people that honestly will take where those little chicklets they see in the bottom of that toilet at night are going to be their own teeth. I know these people. I've worked with these people. I used to be one of those people that would honestly throw a beating on you and then ask questions later because you may have stepped out of order. I'm not that man anymore, but I know a lot of people like that. And I'm like, okay, these little marchies running around here, you think you're just going to run your mouth and, you know, make the awful mistake of grabbing a hold of one of these old boys. I know guys that will honestly beat them to an inch of their lives. And honestly, that part in Lonesome Dove, I think it should be played in every middle school, every high school, all the way around. That honestly, there's some people that do deserve a beating. I mean, you know, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Well, going right back to what Pastor Lon said in the first part of this show, you want to act like a child? Okay, I'll give you a whooping like one.
There's going to be at least one kid a year that's going to try to use that line.
I ain't going to lie. I was always hoping. There was a part of me that honestly hoped to have that experience. Now, I'm not going to bars or anything, but I was thinking, man, there's got to be some storekeep somewhere where I can go in there. I mean, I don't know if I want to smash his head on the counter like Gus did, but it's folks, hey. If you haven't seen it, you got to see it.
I got the spot. Asheville Chocolate. Whenever you walk in there naked next time, there's a mask mandate.
Yeah, it's going to be on, dude. Yeah, I will make the most viral video to make fun of these people, and it's going to require a little sacrifice on my part.
I got one from Trash Can Bees 2739. Thanks so much for answering my question. Soil consulting is something that has never even crossed my mind before. The research I was doing before was in virology, but I'm sort of a hobbyist entomologist, and I'm starting to consider a possible untapped niche there, or niche there, whatever you want to call it.
Niche.
It depends.
No. Look it up in the dictionary. Look it in the dictionary.
It depends.
Niche. Now it's niche, as if we're all
Niche. The gears are turning for sure. Thanks again. Anyways. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So from virology to soil consulting.
No, I think that's you talk about I don't know if it's an easy jump because you're going to have to learn, first of all, what's happening in that soil before you get to that point. I think you understand that as well. But honestly, I know so many people that are looking, they hate their jobs. And there's so many people, it seems, in the IT world that get into this. And I keep asking them every time I run across an IT guy. It was a real cool one at one of the butcheries. I asked them, why are so many IT people in this? And they all have a different response to that. But in the case where you're something of a hobbyist entomologist, you're going to be looking at things a little bit smaller than that. You're going to be checking out bacteria, fungi. It ain't going to be your typical bugs that are walking around. But y'all, think about this. It's like with your Uncle Dion today. Okay, you know what COVID did for him? It was the best thing to happen to him, just to a certain extent, because it forced him to realize that he had to rely 100% on his own to work, because he wasn't going to get jabbed. He's going to have to rely on his own wherewithal to figure out how to put bread on the table. It did that for a whole lot of people out there. Well, a lot of folks right now are wondering, okay, where do I fit in this landscape? How do I possibly make a career? I love farming. I love homesteading. I love all these things. How do I make a career? Well, that particular thing, at least through Dr. Ingham, is going to take something of a financial requirement. Because, I don't have a problem paying for good money. I don't have a problem paying good money for good lessons. Like Greg Judy wrote in his books before, don't go paying good money, a high quantity of money, for a place where you don't get pasture walks. Well, I'm out here, son. I've been to other courses where I've spent considerably more money or as much money, and I didn't get to see it three-dimensionally. that's okay in some areas, but in others it's not. Well, if you're going to make this transition into stuff, y'all, you're going to have to get out there and you might have to put down something of an investment to get yourself to the next level. And I don't have a problem, even if it means staying in some of these stab and jab hotels to get it. I mean, anytime, dude, I'm waiting. I mean, it's weird, man. These curtains, I don't even know what color that is over here. This chair.
Yeah, the chair he's sitting in looks like a slice of Swiss cheese.
It's the color of my shirt.
It is literally the color of the lettering on your shirt. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really the color is. Of this shirt. I mean,
same as the wall.
Yeah, but you know what? I would sleep in a pup tent if it means I get to know a little bit of what Greg Judy does. Like I said, I've read every book he's ever written, but now I get to see it three-dimensionally. So for me, this is like meeting, for some people, like Michael Jackson. For me, that's how much, that's in the high regard I hold he and so many other people. So here it is. I get to knock another hero off my list and the ones I actually get to meet and learn from directly. So I'm looking forward to that. And then, son, honestly, going right back to the previous thing, if I just take stock, folks, I want you to consider your education and maybe the direction and purpose in your life. Let me just kind of point this out real quick. So far this year, what have I done? Okay. And I'm not bragging. I'm just trying to make a point here. Went to the Earthship, went and built the Earthship to the point where I know I could build one when I'm ready. Okay. Did an online educational course with Jim Garish. Did another online educational course, took a lot, and that one was with Dr. Ingham. Here I am out here right now. And how many books have I read? All while working, maintaining a farm, doing a podcast, doing YouTube, and all these other things. Folks, the point I'm trying to get at is there is no substitute for hard work. And some of this does require some learning. And if you want this, this is my craft. This is my career. So I think I need to make it incumbent upon myself to learn from the very best on earth if I can do it. Or send William to Australia to go learn under the best in the world. If it means I got to travel halfway across this planet, that's what we do. Because this is my craft. I want to be the best at it that I can possibly be. And I also want to be in a way where I can convey this information to everybody, whether it's on YouTube, in the podcast, or on Patreon. Like on Patreon, we're going to go step by step when I get back from here, talking chapter and verse on how to make compost piles the way Dr. Ingham does it. And we're going to walk you all the way through it. All right, son, anything else you want to add?
That's it.
All right, y'all. That's going to do it for this time. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
Follow roads that go below Agartha. They want me to chase my sins, but I'm not here to stay with them. Keep a hollow chain, but I don't got a.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same-day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.